another exciting episode of National Google Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the pre-recorded program of free speech because often we have to pre-record. We have to pre-record our 4th of July show, which is Tuesday, because the good people at RBN are going to take the day off and do some stuff or whatever it is doing. Central Texas. I used to watch. What was the name of that show? Is the same guy that did Beavis and Butthead? He did a show that took place. I can't even remember what it was called. What was it? The Boy Ain't Right. The Boy Ain't Right. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. Anyway, they did a lot of grilling on that show. So go to RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send the badly needed fundage. I'm not giving you the phone number today because there will be nobody to pick up the phone number, but you can mail it in to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Why is it Suite 302? I don't get it, because it's on the ground floor. Because I went there with my dog crew last year. It was on the ground floor. Anyway, so we pre-recorded a show. Paul Stevenson and I, we pre-recorded a show that was meant to be for Friday of, what would it be? Friday the 23rd of June. But for whatever reason, on the 23rd of June, I went live instead of playing that show. And that was a show all about how Russia was winning the war. There was no way Ukraine was going to win the war, and everybody loves Putin. And I didn't play it on Friday. Instead, I played it on Tuesday. And all of this stuff happened over the weekend with a Prigozhin uprising, or not uprising, the Prigozhin coup attempt. But by the time it aired on Tuesday, it was all everything we said was right on cue again. I was like, yeah, the Ukrainians aren't going to win the war. The Russians are going to win the war. Everybody loves Putin, and everybody had to admit it. So I guess it was pretty good. But anyway, welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you for having me, Patrick.
All right. And we are recording this on Sunday. The Monday show, I think, is going to be the regular Mark Collett show. So this will be aired on Tuesday. Now, we're going to be talking largely about has it gone beyond riots? Is it now a full-fledged race war in France? Whatever it is going on in France. We'll talk about that. How could events intervene over the next 48 hours? I don't know. But what the heck is going on over there? You're a lot closer to the scene than I am. What's going on in France?
Well, France has been wrecked, basically, and France is now reaping the consequences of mass immigration, in my opinion. You have a bunch of basically crazy Africans and Arabs behaving like animals, basically, in France, and they're wrecking, looting, burning. There was actually an arms store that got raided. So you've got some of these maniacs now running around with Kalashnikovs and other weapons as well. So, and they are, if you look at the pictures, they are majority Africans and Arabs. The Arabs with their headgears on, and we've seen these people, these holy Arabs with their Muslim garb and their headscarves and whatever, coming out of various different shops with looting. So they're very holy, obviously. And the place is going crazy. It seems to be dangerously out of control now. It's, as I say, some of these guys are on the boat with weapons. You've got an increasing amount of armed police, riot police. It looks to me like they're going to have to send in the military. It's that bad. And it's spread. It started off in a suburb of western Paris, I believe. But it's now spread to other towns. Marseille, which has got a huge black population of African immigrants in Marseille. That place is a complete crap hole. It's a horrible place. The best of times, that place is kicked off. This is now the fifth day of riots. On the first day, you could maybe say, okay, this is outrage by what happened with this kid. If anybody doesn't know, there was a young 17-year-old Algerian immigrant, presumably, I think he's second generation, who was stopped by the police.
Third generation, actually.
He's third generation, okay.
I think so.
He was stopped by... Yeah, he was stopped by the police and decided to, you know, drive off while the police were stopping him. And one of the police guys shot him in the chest. Now, you know, okay. Here's the thing. That seems, on the surface of it, unnecessary. You know, to actually, if you're going to shoot someone in the chest at point blank range, you're going to kill them. The police presumably would know that's what the outcome was going to be. In the current climate, you would probably know that all hell's going to break loose because, of course, immigrants could do no wrong. And you're seeing this now because you're seeing all these scenes and all the media coverage is like, you know, interviewing young Muslim women and black women who are saying, oh, it's all because we're black and we're persecuted or Arabs and we're not all like this and blah, blah, blah. So basically what you have is a situation where the police can't police in any way, because if you police, then you're going to be called a racist and all hell's going to break loose. And you're only picking on these innocent victims because they're from so-called minority groups. But and they always fail to mention that the vast majority of crime is committed by these groups, these Arab groups from the Middle East, immigrants, and these African countries. That just gets lost. It's only because they're black or they're Arabs. So we
have the situation in America and in Europe and the UK, I suppose. In fact, I'm sure where if you are from a black or brown or, you know, ethnic community, you have a veto over the police right to arrest you, the police ability to arrest you. You have a veto, right?
Yeah.
So you take off. If you take off, there's only three things the police can do. They can shoot you, they can chase you, or they can let you go.
Exactly.
Now, if they shoot you, this is what you get, okay? So that you can't, they can't be shot. And if they chase you, then you get the city of Chicago has outlawed chasing criminals. They've outlawed chasing criminals. The police are not allowed to chase criminals, okay? And, you know, you can have car accidents. If you chase a criminal, the odds of a totally innocent bystander being killed by the fleeing criminal is very high.
Exactly.
So you've given them a
pass,
a veto of their own arrest. You really have. Now, so that's one issue. But here's the other issue that I really want to get at. Regardless of the justification or lack of justification in what happened to this 17-year-old Nahel, whatever his name was, Nahel, contrast this. So in America, how many times have you had, say, white people, like a white girl getting raped and killed by an illegal immigrant? You had this case in Iowa a few years ago. And then the very father of the girl who got killed would come out and say, well, you know, let's not blame everybody for it. Let's not get racist. This isn't all of them. Okay. So even the families of the victims in so many cases, the white families of victims will respond with like understanding and forgiveness and this and that. Whereas,
apologetics for mass immigration.
Whereas in France now, and in the black community everywhere, if somebody that you don't know, even in a completely different town, in a completely different city, on the other side of the country, somebody is said to have been killed unjustly, who's not related to you, but simply maybe shares your skin color, Then you feel justified to go out and burn down businesses, burn down, like in France, burning down like a 10-story, I've seen video of a 10-story building being set ablaze. So
there was an attempted murder on the French it was the mayor of some French town. They drove a car into his house and they smashed into his house with a heavy vehicle and set the building on fire and burnt his car.
And his wife, he wasn't there, but his wife and kids had to flee, and apparently, like, climbing over a wall, they got injured and have broken bones. So I mean, it's just such a contrast. On the one hand, you've got the white father saying, let's be forgiving and understanding. And on the other hand, you've got this black and brown mob that who have never met, never heard of the person who got killed. The person who got killed may not be in the least bit innocent. And yet they feel justified to go out and just attack and destroy random people and random things.
Well, yeah, it's France's George Floyd all over again.
Yeah, and it's really intense.
Yeah, it's worse. And I mean, there is a right wing sector in France, I suppose. So, you know, I suppose they look around at the UK and they look around at the limp-wristed Europeans who basically allow them to do whatever they want. And then they compare it to France, who actually, you know, police occasionally. And they're seen as outrageous. Of course, it's never the media is framing it constantly, despite the fact that this has gone way beyond any form of peaceful protest. This is, you know, looting, wrecking, stealing weapons, intimidating people. Absolute chaos, where I think they're going to have to bring in the military. It's still framed in the media as a result of the murder of 17-year-old. I mean, we've kind of gone beyond that. You know, even in the first day there was rioting and the media were, you know, you saw, this is the gaslighting that goes on. You could see even at the end of the first night it all kicked off. You're seeing cars burning. You're seeing absolute chaos. And I think it was the Times over here or the Guardian at the end of it said, at the end of mostly peaceful protests. And you're just seeing, you know, this place on burning. And, you know, the reality is, you know, they complain. Here's what I find so interesting. You know, that when they're interviewing people and the experts, the cultural commentators are talking about, well, you know, these are disadvantaged people. You know, these are, you know, they're social outcasts and blah, blah, blah. There's never been a better time to be black or a minority. You know, you look at the grooming gangs that you mentioned. You look at the double standards over here. A blind eye is turned to them. They get opportunities that they're not even fit for, but because of their skin color, they get promoted. They get opportunities that white people don't. White people are actually persecuted in their own lands. There's never been a better time to be black. And here's the other thing. Apparently, the reason that these people or their parents or wherever came here is because they're persecuted. They're persecuted. They're a persecuted people. And they, you know, or they've left dire economic situations where they have no opportunities. And they're complaining. We're persecuted. There's absolute racism in France and the police. We're scared. It's a horrible situation. It's just a miserable life living here. We have no opportunities. You know, okay, well, why don't you leave then? Why don't you claim refugee status somewhere else? Say, oh, we're fleeing France. But they don't flee France. They just keep coming to the horrible racist France and the other horrible racist European countries in the UK. People risk their lives to come to these horrible racist places where there's no opportunities. But that's how it's been framed. The fact of the matter is, you know, they interviewed a few people. Oh, we're being persecuted because we're black and we've been checked twice today. You know, a couple of Arab women been checked today, and it's only because we're black and Arabs, and it's not fair. Not everyone's like that. Not everyone's like that. But if you, like I said before, I think I said to someone recently, if someone said to you, there's a really nice steak, but 1% of it is poisonous, would you eat it? Would you eat it saying, okay, I'll take my chances. There's only 1% of that's, you know, a problem. The rest of it's fine. Would you eat it or would you say, no, I think I'll give that a skip. That 1% could kill me. Well, now you're seeing what's happening with whatever it is, whether it's 1%, 2% of the Arab population or the black population of Algeria, which is an absolute crap hole. It's got loads of crime and problems there, like a lot of the African countries have. This is what happens. You know, this argument, is, you know, that, well, it's not all of us. Well, what we know is not all of you. It doesn't need to be all of you. It's like the steak. It's like you don't need to be the other 99% that you can eat. But if you eat that 1%, you're going to die. And France, look at the state of the place. I used to go on holiday to France when I was a kid. Beautiful place. You know, it's just wrecked. It doesn't even look like France. I mean, I don't know if they've got, I think they've probably got more Africans there because of their colonial history than we have here. We've got more Indians who are more civilized and people like that. But it just breaks my heart watching it. And then the apologetics ministry coming out as usual in the media, including our own media over here, the Times. No one's condemning it. And the syndicate France police came out after the, you know, uproar and the usual cries of racism, said, "Bravo to the colleagues who opened fire on a 17-year-old criminal. By neutralizing his vehicle, they protected their lives and that of other road users. The only ones responsible for the death of this thug are his parents, unable to educate their son." Be no surprise, one parent, a woman, single mother, who was parading around like a celebrity on the first day. I was like, is this woman in mourning or is she having a party? This woman was like, you know, up at the top of some float where they were all, and she was dancing. And I thought, this woman's really enjoying the attention here. She doesn't even seem to be mourning. I mean, maybe I'm, you know, casting aspersions, but she seemed to be having a good time as far as I could tell. She didn't seem to be some brokenhearted mother. So the whole thing, it's so predictable. And this is what you get. It's a powder keg. It's waiting to erupt at any moment. And they are wrecking France. And I'll tell you, I think they are going to have to bring in the military. And by the way, that Syndicate France police statement, I don't know where they'll stick by it. I hope they do, because the reality is, like you said, there's three options. You shoot them, you chase them, or you let them go. Now, if the police stop you, I imagine they might have told him to get out of the car. And he didn't. He drove off. He didn't have a license. So I don't know why people in the media, and I've heard this framing it, saying he was a driver for a living. The initial reports were that the police stopped him. He didn't have a driver's license. And they probably said, can you get out of the car? And he drove off. Now, if he had have driven off in a hurry, whether he was chased or otherwise, and then caused a pileup down the road somewhere for reckless driving, and killed a dozen people in a pileup, or even killed one innocent person, you can be guaranteed that the innocent person would have found out that the police had stopped him and let him go. And then what? It's like the police had this guy in their sights, and they let him go, and he came onto this motorway reckless driving and killed somebody, or killed a family, or whatever. You know, like you said, what are the police supposed to do? They're not allowed to police, because if they police, they're called racism, it's discrimination. And the reality is, the majority of the crime are committed by these urban sort of gang types, these urban communities, these so-called minorities from Algeria and other parts of Africa and the Middle East. And if you target them, it's the same here. If you target the, you know, stop and search is very controversial here. But if you're, oh, they're stopping, you know, there's discrimination against young black males being stopped and searched. Well, yeah, because we could stop and search, you know, middle-aged white women. But they don't really have a history of carrying knives, whereas young black youths do. So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. So it's lawlessness either way.
Right. So so here's the thing. They'll say this massive race war or insurrection or whatever you want to call it.
It's not been framed as a race war. It's been framed as persecution by the police because the police are racist.
Okay, or, you know, you could call it riots, but I think it's gone beyond riots because
beyond riots. It's a mess. It looks like a war zone.
It does look like a war zone. It looks like a war zone. And but the thing is, you can't say that this was over young Nahel from whose grandparents came from Algeria.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
But the thing is, you can't say that this was over young Nahel from whose grandparents came from Algeria, because I mean everything that's going on it's huge, and you know if you want it was triggered, but it's you know the trigger might determine the timing of the explosion, but the trigger doesn't make the explosion. And so you have, like, this was obviously going to happen at some point in time, and there's no way that in a country, you know, France has 65 million people, and I heard recently that it's 11% of France is Muslim. I know the French really don't keep good, purposely don't keep good data,
demographic shift records, yeah,
on demographics. They purposely don't. But the thing is, if you said 11%, that's getting close to 7 million, and that's Muslims, and that wouldn't include a lot of Africans, a lot of Black Africans who aren't Muslims, because a lot of the Black Africans are Christians or whatever else. So you've got this massive, you know, millions, 7 million plus, where criminality is high, and there's going to be an encounter sooner or later. There's going to be an encounter, and even in this encounter, I mean, it's not as if this was necessarily some I mean, we don't know all that much about it, but it wasn't as if this guy was just some innocent person. I mean, he was stopped for a legitimate reason. He had no business being in the car.
Well, the thing is, we don't get any details of why the police stopped him. I mean, there must be a reason why the police called him a thug. So we don't know why he was stopped. It hasn't said. We don't know any of the details, because it's framed and he's just an innocent little boy. And because he's an Algerian, third-generation Algerian, the police just decided to shoot him. Nothing better to do. Oh, there's a little Algerian. Let's kill this guy. So, you know. But, you know, I remember in Northern Ireland, the police were pretty heavy-handed because of the terrorist situation over there and all that, and they were armed. The last thing you would do, if you had any sense, if you were stopped, is to drive off, because you were going to get shot.
Mm.
You know? You knew it was stupid. I mean, if you're going to drive off, at the very least, you're going to get, you know, I don't know. I mean, I suppose the police could have maybe shot the wheels of his car as he drove off. I don't know. I mean, personally, it wouldn't be my instinct to shoot someone that quickly. You know, you would probably take your chances because you know that, okay, I've just taken a life. But, you know, you could shoot the wheels of his car. But you are risking him then going on to a main road and killing other people. And you have that in your conscience for the rest of your life. If he went out there, caused a pileup and killed a family or something, you know, or whoever, even just one other individual.
Well, remember just 2 weeks ago or so, there was a Muslim from the Middle East who was going on a stabbing spree, went into a park and started stabbing women and their babies.
Yeah.
Remember that?
That's right.
And did that cause a massive white riot? Did whites go and start burning down Muslim areas? No, they didn't.
Mm.
No. I mean, it couldn't be.
And these are children. These are babies. There was a baby in a pram, for God's sake, that was stabbed.
Yeah.
And the police, by the way, the police were so timid that they didn't even take a fatal shot at this guy. In fact, one of the guys who reprimanded him, there was a civilian who, fair play to him, had the courage to stand up to this guy, and the police shot him by accident. He got shot in the leg for his trouble or something. He, you know, it wasn't a fatal shot, but while the police were trying to kill this maniac, they shot him as well.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Patrick, all this is going to do is to. I think France is going to be the first domino to fall. Macron's popularity is in the gutter. I mean, they're all in the gutter. It's like Sunak is at like 33%. I think Scholz is at 33%. You've got the Alternative for Germany party, who are on the rise. Even though any right-wing party are dismissed as being fascist Nazis and stuff. You know?
And they won in some regional or local election, right? They had
Yeah,
a good...
so they'll try and get them shut down. They are trying to get them closed down as being like, you know, so the idea, it's like Ukraine. It's democracy over there. You know, it's the same thing. We have the same democracy here as we have in Ukraine. You know, you basically shut down your political opposition. Well, that's what they do here. They shut down the BNP over here. And they're already trying to smear and dismiss Alternative for Germany, and you'll have the same thing in France. You have the same thing in Sweden. Anytime there's any uprising against lawlessness and mass immigration that brings the lawlessness, well, you're deemed Nazis, racist, and you need to be shut down or whatever. But I think France is going to be the first domino to fall because there is a genuine right-wing intolerance. The French are a funny people, and you know they protest very easily. And that incident you mentioned with that maniac with the knife, coupled with this, because this is, for any honest observer, this has gone way, way beyond protesting the shooting of this young guy. This is basically Arabs, lawless Arabs and Africans.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
With this, because this is, for any honest observer, this has gone way, way beyond protesting the shooting of this young guy. This is basically Arabs, lawless Arabs and Africans essentially being what vast majorities of them are. This is the sort of stuff that goes on in Africa and the Middle East all the time, unless it's cracked down on, and it is cracked down on in a lot of those countries. And, when we crack down on it, we're racist, you know, so.
Well, okay, so one thing I want to point out is 65 years ago, you had the situation in Algeria. Algeria had been since, the 1820s, part of France. It was not even considered a colony. It's not as if the Algerian Arabs and Berbers – They weren't given equal rights as Frenchmen, but Algeria was not considered a colony. It was considered like part of France. And you had you could call it a French population, a European population. It's something around 20%. I think that included a fair number of Jews, actually, Jews who were native to that area. But you had something like upwards of 20%. French population in Algeria. Well, the Algerians in the 50s and into the early 60s fought a war against the French And the French eventually pulled out, and Charles de Gaulle pulled them out. And so it was considered acceptable, and the world looks back with favor at the Algerians kicking out their French population that was somewhere around, 15-20%. Well, now you've got the reverse situation where you've got a African, largely Algerian, population in France that is probably around 15%. It's getting up there. And they're causing mayhem, absolute mayhem. They've been there since even, I'm sure there was already a certain number there before the Algerian independence, but they've been coming over in big numbers ever since then. I was in France, I was in Lyon 40 years ago, and I remember seeing all these Algerians. And so they've come over. And why would it be wrong for the French to say Algerians should leave? I mean, the Algerians said the French have to get out of Algeria. The Algeria for the Algerians. They said that 60 years ago, and the world thinks that was such a great thing. Why would it be out of place for the French to say, look, French for the Frenchmen, the Algerians have come here, second, third generation, they don't assimilate, they alienate. And now they're trying to effectively topple the government. So,
yeah. Well, it's a different rules for white Europeans. It's as simple as that.
So I'm throwing that at you. What do you think of that? Could you imagine
Well, I can't imagine it. I think it's coming. It's just that our hands have been tied behind our backs for so long that we haven't been allowed to defend our heritage, our identities, in the West race. Huh?
May I ask who's tying our hands behind the back?
Well, I think we know who's basically at the root of that problem. And, the media pump out this stuff. And so you have in the West this aberrant situation historically and aberrant today geographically, where race, religion, culture, identity, language, none of that matters in the West. It matters in China. It matters in India. It matters in Pakistan. It matters in Africa. It matters everywhere, except if you're whitey and you happen to be of European stock, including, all the Anglo-speaking, English-speaking countries. So it's rigged against us. And, because we're all guilty, you see, of imperialism. And, we're all basically paying back the sins of our past, Patrick,
Yeah. So, okay, here's something. We've talked about Russia a lot, and I think we both agree that the war in Ukraine is basically a Russian war. I mean, it's a Jewish war against Russians. That they're using the Ukrainians as sacrificial lambs. He has started calling Zelensky the butcher of Ukraine. And when you think about it, because Zelensky, David Duke is calling Zelensky the butcher of Ukraine. And he's throwing all of these, not even young people, because there aren't any young people left. He's throwing all these middle-aged men my age, men in their 60s, throwing them, into the front lines where they have no chance, zero chance, and they're being slaughtered. You could look at that as a Jewish war against Ukraine, even though the Jews are going around saying, oh, Zelensky is a hero and we got to send. Yeah, they're getting all these weapons sent to Ukraine. But what's happening with those weapons? Those weapons are just turning these Ukrainian middle-aged men into targets, and they're dying. So, I mean, you could look at that as a Jewish war against Ukraine. And I'm sorry, what's going on in France? Okay, it's not as if some Jew somewhere blew a whistle and all the Muslims went out and started rioting. But the whole powder keg was created by this Jewish priority, this Jewish necessity to have
mass immigration.
Mass immigration in order to turn the whites into a minority in their own countries. And Brett Stevens, who is a columnist for the New York Times, less than 3 weeks ago, on I guess it was the 14th of June, he was at a some sort of Jewish forum. It was a Jewish forum, and he was being interviewed by another Jew. He was sitting on stage, and he was saying, look, we as Jews can only thrive in liberal areas with liberal values, where liberal values are hegemonic, and the idea of opposing immigration is antithetical to our Jewish values. And of course, in the past, he's written about the need to have multiculturalism in order to protect Jews.
That's what it's all about, isn't it?
That is what it's all
that
about.
That is what it's all about. I mean, that is the first priority, closely followed by a, almost joint number one priority, sort of close number two, is basically to dilute the white European countries to the point that eventually we'll get rid of white people completely, at least to the point that they're a persecuted minority. That is what it's about. And now you're seeing it in France. I think you will see a rise of that in France. And by the way, you're talking about Ukraine. I mean, it's no coincidence that Zelensky's a Jew. This guy's, I don't know what the Ukrainian people must be up in arms. There must be a percentage of them thinking this guy is wrecking the country. I mean, you talk about you will know them by their fruits. I mean, I have Ukraine, which is its economy is so wrecked that they're completely dependent on the United States for everything and the EU. And so it's basically, okay, go and fight, send in as many Ukrainians to die or no more money for you. I mean, you're not even talking about weapons and military gear and this type of stuff or humanitarian aid. The United States and the EU with all these billions, they're actually paying the salaries of civil servant workers and all sorts in Ukraine. I mean, the country is completely dependent on the West. They don't make some effort for this counteroffensive, no more money. And of course, Zelensky doesn't give a damn about that. He's just like, let's keep the gravy train going. I'm getting very rich here. And, he's basically come out. Yeah. And, he's came out, this great democracy that we're supporting, he came out last week and said, well, we'll have to suspend the elections. We only have elections in peacetime. In fact, anybody who's reported on it,
it's not the first time he said that. He said that easily 6 months ago.
Yeah, and not only that, whenever anybody does report on it, they report that he said, we have to suspend elections in peacetime. He said we'll have to suspend elections until we win, So while he can keep the whole sort of facade going that there's still hope, he can just keep getting richer. This guy's probably going to be worth $10 billion by the end of this. And meanwhile, will there be a single young Ukrainian male left in the country? The whole thing. I can't believe that people are so gullible that they don't look at this and think, first of all, if you didn't know anything before, you should look and see, okay, Ukraine is not a democracy. Grow up. And it's even less of a democracy now that you've got this Jew in charge who's basically getting richer and richer off every dead Ukrainian. That's the reality. This guy's on a commission for every dead Ukrainian.
Yeah. So, okay, here's the next question. And I don't know if you'd seen this particular news yet. I saw it shortly before we started recording. But these riots, race wars have spread all over France. But they've also spread to Switzerland. So,
I'm worried, yeah. Yeah, I'm worried that it's going to start spreading over to Italy and go right across Europe
So Switzerland, which is quiet, which is boring. So you've got it in Switzerland, but full of immigrants. And I don't know how far they've gone in Switzerland. I remember going to Switzerland 40 years ago. And actually, I've got some Swiss heritage. And I remember going to Switzerland and making quick friends with this Chinese girl. We were on the same train going into, maybe it was into Zurich. I can't remember. I barely remember it. But we were talking. I don't even remember what language we were talking. It was probably French. And she invited me to go with her to class. She was going to a class. I don't remember what kind of class, but it was at a university. And she invited me to go with her. I went and sat with her in the class. And I don't even remember. I mean, I'm sure I never saw her again. But I remember thinking how weird it was that I was of Swiss ancestry, but I was the foreigner. And she was Chinese, but she was the Swiss citizen. And of course, it's gone way, way more than that now. I mean, that was 40 years ago. I know Switzerland, the demographics there are horrible. So you got that in Switzerland. Belgium.
I didn't realize, Patrick, you know, the demographics. I actually thought Switzerland was a bit protected from some of this other mass immigration insanity. I was there myself in, when was I there? February. But I was up in the mountains. I went through the Alps and stuff like that. So I didn't really see anything in Switzerland.
Yeah, it's got such a small population, for one thing. And so I'm going to check it out. But
no, I'm not disputing it. I just, you know, I wasn't aware. I can't, because I know it's not the easiest place to get into. So I'm surprised by that. Let me see. Okay, Switzerland accused of racism now as well. Systematic racism issues. Looking at Weon, which is a... Oh God! You know the Indians—they hate us. The Russians even pump out this. You know, I hate it when RT jump on the bandwagon because they're anti-West. So everything has to be, you know, the whitey has to be the evil racist. They jump in with this culture war against white people as well in Europe. They're reporting it all as racism in France and stuff. And can, you know, Putin condemning the Swedish Quran burning and stuff. Like, I mean. There's Pakistan, I think you'll find that there's Christians who are treated like animals. And similarly in Africa and Saudi Arabia and other parts of the Middle East. Do we hear any condemnation about that? You know, burning a Bible would be the least of your problems in Pakistan. Getting yourself and your family burnt would be more of a concern. But you don't hear any condemnation. It was like RT, you had some of these, you know, imams on, or these Islamic apologists who are talking about, it's a veiled threat, what they were saying. They were like, why does Sweden allow this? You know, there's 2 billion Muslims in the world. Why do they stir them up? This is so unnecessary. You know, you don't hear people reporting from Pakistan saying, oh, this Christian family were murdered. Why do these stupid Muslims do this? There's 5 billion professing Christians in the world. What, are they trying to stir up a war here? But that's how it's framed. They're like, there's 2 billion Muslims in the world. Don't you know that, Sweden? You know, it's like, be careful.
Yeah. So, okay, so I mentioned it spread to Lucerne. 20 years ago, I was in Belgium. I was in Brussels, but my host took me over to Liege, which he called the cesspool of Europe. And there were tons of Muslims there. I remember that. And so obviously this could spread very easily to Belgium. You know, you've got a place like, what's it called, Malmo in Sweden, southern Sweden. Sweden, you know, only less than 2/3 of people living in Sweden were born to 2 Swedish parents, right? So, they don't keep ethnic statistics. Let me rephrase that. Only less than 2/3 of the people who live in Sweden were born to 2 parents who were born in Sweden. But at any rate, so here's the thing. You mentioned earlier how unpopular these European leaders are, and so France is completely burning. And what was Macron doing? He and his granny. Wife went to see Elton John.
Yeah.
I mean, how is that going to play? And so, I mean, he could resign. I think, wouldn't you get the prime minister become like the caretaker president or something? And the prime minister is this Jewish lady.
Oh,
and you know, I guess you'd have prompt elections, and maybe Marine Le Pen would win. But okay, but. It spread. Okay, here's the thing. This is the question I want to ask. So you've got Europe's already in recession because of this insane war, this insane Jewish NATO war against Russia. So they're already in bad shape. And then you're going to unleash Muslim riots all over the place. And you've got unpopular governments. What could this lead to? I mean, And the Ukrainian war, I mean, the Ukrainian war is just that could all collapse at any moment. We just entered the second half of 2023. What does it hold for us? What type of scenario could you foresee?
Well, listen, I'll tell you my biggest concern about the Ukraine at the minute is this whole counteroffensive it's a complete disaster. It's a tragedy, obviously, because of the, I think there's something like 13,000 deaths on the Ukrainian side. But the nuclear situation in Zaporizhia actually is an increasing concern. I actually saw videos where the Ukrainians are doing sort of like nuclear fallout drills. And there's this increasing rhetoric. I mean, Zelensky's been pumping out this nonsense for ages about the Russians are going to be attacking the Zaporizhia power plant and they've got intelligence about it and everything else. And I fear that that it could be the last final miserable, wicked throw of the dice for Zelensky.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, you know.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Power plant, and they've got intelligence about it and everything else. And I fear that that it could be the last final miserable, wicked throw of the dice for Zelensky, because there is this increasing narrative about the Russians are going to attack they're gearing up to attack the Zaporizhia power plant. There's never any explanation as to why they would do it, considering they control it. There's never any explanation as to how they would benefit from that, considering they're next door to it. Nothing. It's just, you know, and I hope but the Russians are not stupid enough to not defend that place to the hilt, because I think that if Zelensky gets his way and this thing is all about to just completely collapse and there's no other way from hiding it, that they're going to try and pull this false flag attack on that power plant in Zaporizhzhia. That would be a complete and utter disaster. But the Jews capable of it in Kiev. Make no mistake about it.
Make no mistake. Okay. Well, we are very close to the end of this show. This will be broadcasting on the 4th of July, which is our Independence Day. I heard a caller to RBN, to Mark Dankoff's show, saying had it not been for this one particular rich Jew who financed the American Revolution, we wouldn't have our independence. And you know something? I mean, I don't know. Was it even worth it? Was it even worth it? If I had been alive 250 years ago, would I have even supported the revolution? I don't know. All I know is that I saw the musical Hamilton, and a lot of people don't know this, but like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, all these founding fathers, they were all black. And Thomas Jefferson was funky. And the only white person in the cast is King George. He's the only sympathetic character. He's the only person who sings a song that actually has a melody. So I don't know. I mean, frankly.
Probably not. I mean, not too independent now, is it? It's basically, you've got a Jewish fifth column running the country.
We're all ruled by Jews. We don't have any independence. There aren't any. The only white country, I guess, is Russia. By Jews.
And quotes white.
And Andrew Anglin's out there saying he'd rather be ruled over by Muslims than Jews. And I guess, maybe, but I mean, I'd rather be Australian Aborigines than Jews, if you can get down to it. But it's a sad, sad situation. But maybe on Independence Day, we can start thinking about actually somehow regaining our independence. But I want to thank you, Paul, for joining me. I think it's been a great show. I usually don't say that.
Yeah. Thank you, Padre. Yeah. Well, it's great to join you. It's good to get some of that stuff off my chest as well.
Yeah, me too. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.